very much. He was terrific, and he was very helpful to commissioners as well. So we are really going to miss him. If we, let's see here. Do you want to do petitions now, or do you want to skip those and start after a break? I'll leave it to you. We could go to proposals, I suppose, or we could do petitions. Your call.
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom, and we're certainly willing to do it whichever way you want. From the standpoint of time, proposals would likely go a little bit faster because there's only one new and the other ones are carryovers because we have no finalizations, and those will be done in July. So sure. we could run through those, I believe, fairly quickly because the carryover ones have no changes to them. So there's really no action necessary or needed today unless there's something you want to adjust as a commission. But we could go through those fairly quick and then go to break and go into petitions if that would be your desire.
Yeah, let's do that then. Why don't you do proposals?
Okay. I think Chad is going to be up. Chad Switzer is going to lead the effort here in the majority of the proposals except the one related to parks. So, Chad?
Hey, good afternoon. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator for the department. Good afternoon, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler. I got to switch my screen here. Mr. Chair, I believe we're on page 67 would be our first proposal for consideration. If you remember at the last legislative session this year, House Bill 1184 did provide some opportunity for non-resident landowners to qualify for landowner-owned land licenses for the West River deer hunting season and for firearm antelope hunting seasons where licenses were made available. And with that bill, Mr. Chair, I'd indicated that the commission obviously has the authority to promulgate rules in regards to establishing fees for such licenses issued under that bill. So the recommendation we have there is to modify the administrative rule listed at the top of the action sheet there. You can see the current rule listed there, number 16, subsection 16, and the recommended rule, which essentially simply eliminates the word resident from that administrative rule language and just lists landowner-owned land, deer and antelope licenses. And in having some discussion internally, we simply are just bringing forward a fee package for those non-resident landowner-owned land licenses at the half price, 50% cost of the regular license. That is already established, similar to the resident landowner owned land licenses. So in that table under the supportive information, you can see those fees that would be associated with those, appropriate, license types there. So I think it's pretty simple and straightforward there, but, that's what we have forward for you, for your consideration for establishing those fees for those new licenses. Established by House Bill 1184, and we'd certainly answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Spring.
Yes.
Does this ruling here cover just firearms deal, or does it include archery for the non-resident?
Through the chair, Commissioner Spring, this would be landowner-owned land licenses that would be specific for the West River firearm deer hunting seasons. As far as the archery licenses, those are currently unlimited at the full fee cost for non-resident hunters, which would include landowners. Those are unlimited in number and not restricted to a limited draw.
You'd still pay full price for the the archery tag too, then.
That is correct, Commissioner Spring.
Commissioner Springs, this is Tom Kirschman, just as an additional follow-up. The reason it does not include archery is because the legislation itself was specific to the West River deer hunting season, so that would be the firearm season. So that would not apply to the standard archery licenses, but it's important to remember, even as a West River deer season license, they would be able to purchase, if you move forward with this at half price, they would still be eligible to use their bow and harvest the animal via archery under that firearm or that license type. But the license itself is specific to the West River deer hunting season, which is that particular season.
And antelope, Tom, just to throw that in there as well. Both deer and antelope.
When I read the bill, I thought that it was just for deer and antelope hunting. I didn't realize it was listed on the bill as firearms only. That's why I asked the question.
Mr. Chair, and just for those commission members that might not be real familiar with the bill, it does also provide the free antlerless deer licenses, up to two of those per qualifying landowner in those units that are open and those license types made available as they are currently now for resident landowners.
Okay. Any more comment, questions? Now we need a motion to approve, Chad. We have a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? If no discussion, Rachel, will you read the roll, please?
Heath?
Aye.
Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor, motion carries.
Thank you. Go to number 11, I think. Public water zoning.
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom Kirschman again. I'm going to turn this one over to either Mike Klozowski or Kevin, I believe, is going to address one of the two.
Yeah, we are not going to have a proposal for this. This will be an information item. So we can either skip to the next one or go into that information item, if you will.
Well, let's just skip to the next proposal and we'll get the proposals done. How's that?
Yes, that sounds good. Thank you.
So we're at 12 then, I think, use of parks and public lands. Scott?
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler, Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks Division. Page 70 in your commission books addresses the use of parks and public lands. This particular proposal has to do with area in south central South Dakota. We were approached by the Yankton Sioux tribe and they asked if we could mimic a program that was put in place last year by the commission with the support of the department that we put in place down in West Bend, where we allowed we currently allow tribal members and their families to access certain areas without requiring the park entrance license, the fees associated with that. The Yankton Sioux tribe approached us and asked if we could come up with a plan that would allow them, those Yankton Sioux tribe tribal members and their families, to access the areas around North Bend, down there around Pickstown. We got together with them, it would be back in February, I believe, and had a good conversation. The proposal that you see in front of you is the after the discussion, it includes all of the areas down in that North Bend area. It includes, pulling up my sheet now, it includes the Fort, the North Point Recreation Area, Fort Randall South Shore Recreation Area, Randall Creek Recreation Area, and Fort Randall Spillway Lakeside Use Areas. Those four areas, like I say, are just either side of the river. You know, they're popular recreation areas, and we think that this is a great opportunity for us to maybe enhance some of the use by tribal members, and if some of those fees are standing in the way of those folks being able to participate, we would certainly like to remove those barriers and encourage some additional use down there. We don't see this as being any sort of an impediment to any of our operations down there. We have room for any and all folks to show up, and you know, especially when we spread them out over four, spread all of the use out over four areas, we just think this is a good proposal. And again, it mimics something that we did last year down at West Bend. So with that, we'd ask for your approval.
Hey, Mr. Chairman? Thank you. Yeah.
Commissioner Boyd here. Quick question for you. Will these individuals be given some sort of a courtesy pass or some way to indicate that they are there legally, if you will, or not needing to pay that fee?
Yep. Mr. Chair, Commissioner Boyd. Yeah, we're working on that program right now, Commissioner Boyd. The last thing that I want to have happen is someone enter the park legally by showing their tribal ID, and then they're out using the swim beach or fishing or whatever it might be. And because we don't have some way to identify that vehicle as something that's in the park legally, we write them an unattended ticket. That's not going to be good for anybody involved. So we're coming up with some sort of a sticker that isn't necessarily a park entrance pass, which would give you access to everything in the state. But we'll have something in place that'll identify those vehicles and those, and you know, we're thinking it'd probably be good for a few years. You know, the tribal status isn't going to change. So we're still working out the details of that, but yeah, definitely that's a direction that we're going.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? We'll need a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Your second?
Sharp will second.
Any discussion? If not, Rachel, read the roll, please.
Beast?
Aye.
Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Sharp is aye, and Olson said aye as well.
Yep. Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor, motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So we go to 13, River Otter Season, which is Chad, I think.
Yes, Mr. Chair, on page 71 is the River Otter Trapping Season. Just want to, not asking for formal action on anything today. Obviously, we can have discussions on any topics U.S. commissioners would like to have on this current proposal, but just want to go over a few of the requirements or some of the things listed here that would establish such a trapping season for river otters. And if I can just back up and talk about one thing in regards to Nancy Hilding's question or comment in regards to the beaver trapping season. There was a recent change to the beaver trapping season that moved it from, I believe it was set at the first Saturday of November. That season date is now aligned with the start of November, so it would be November 1 as well and coincide with the proposed trapping season you have out right now in regards to river otters. So the change there, number one, or the requirement for the season would be to establish a trapping season that would run from November 1 to December 31 in all counties of the state. limit of one river otter per trapper per season. The third there is a statewide harvest limit of 15 river otters. So the season would end prior to December 31 if that harvest limit was reached. We've had discussions internally on how to best inform those trappers that might be pursuing otters to learn about the status of that harvest limit, and we feel we have a real good model put in place right now. We probably run something very similar, mirror what we do for the mountain lion hunting season right now. Getting back to the comment on why statewide and maybe why not restricting harvest in the western part of the state, that is a topic that we did discuss at a fair level internally with staff. And in looking at that, we felt, if there would happen to be an otter or two trapped along the Missouri River or in the western part of South Dakota, that's biologically, from a population standpoint, is really not going to inhibit the expansion of river otters across the state. And if some beaver trapper would incidentally, if they were not targeting otters and happened to trap an otter during the season with a statewide open unit, why not allow that trapper to keep that otter? So that was our justification for the statewide unit, I guess, if you want to call it that. Number four there, the proposal is currently for residents only. Again, we felt with the novelty of a new season, and there's other states have opportunities for the take of river otters already. Just easing into this with the very conservative harvest limit we have in here with 15 and whatnot, just let's ease into this with residents. Number five and six, you will see some language there on the requirements of reporting harvest to the department, when that pelt or how that pelt needs to be tagged within certain time periods, and whatnot, and if this does move through finalization and a season does end up moving forward here, we'll immediately work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on obtaining a permit for the CITES tag that is required for otters, similar to what we have a requirement for in regards to bobcats when it comes to potential for international trade of some of these species where they may have similar physical characteristics towards other threatened and endangered species. So, Mr. Chair, with that, we have no recommended changes from your proposal. We don't need any action on this today to allow another 30 days of public comment, but myself and staff are here to try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? All right, if not, let's go to Fall Turkey.
Hello? Hi. My name is Christine Sandvik, and I am from Rapid City. And I actually do want to comment on this because I think that it's easy to undervalue a species. I'm a professional naturalist, and I have in the past worked for Holland America Cruise Lines as a naturalist. And we have an otter tour that is $130. And people pay $130 just to go on this otter tour, and it is always booked. It's always full. And I think that one thing that, it's very difficult to value an animal. And I know that happened with numerous animals, but as ecotourism is coming up, we need to think about the value of these animals, and particularly as far as having it in West River, but maybe just not even having a season on the otters so that we can get to a population that might draw people. Realistically, the cost of an otter pelt is $30. So if you have one tourist then that sees that otter, it becomes, equally valuable as that hunting season, just to value that nature. And I know personally, I've seen river otters in Yellowstone, and it was very special.
Point of order.
Yeah, that's probably just the consequence of our new entrance into the virtual world. And so thank you for your comment. We try to limit those to either during the public hearing or the open forum, which you probably aren't aware of if you haven't been part of these meetings in the past. But so anyway, that's how we try to do it. And but thank you for your comments today, and then we'll just continue. So at this point of the meeting, when I ask for questions or comments, that's really aimed at commissioners. But thank you anyway.
Sorry about that. I missed the first few minutes of the meeting because I thought it was, I'm on Mountain Time, and I missed the first 15 minutes. I must have missed the window for that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you for your comments again, and we'll move forward back to where we were. Any more on the River Otter?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Commissioner Whitmire, for Chad, with the River Otter, could you give a little more detail on the habitat necessary for the River Otter? And I guess specifically, here in the Northeast, we have muskrats and beaver, and in the winter months, it is necessary for them to build muskrat houses, I guess we call them, and you might call it a beaver dam, but it's just a collection of trees and organic material that they build a large house, and that's how they get oxygen to breathe in the wintertime. And that's something that otters simply don't do. And so with the power plant in Roberts County that enables open water for the river otter itself and other open areas of access for the river otters to get into the water and back onto dry land. I believe that's quite limited in our area, but could you expand on that a little bit? Just the, kind of some background on that habitat?
Through the chair, Commissioner Whitmire, great questions. I'm not gonna pretend that I'm a river otter biologist or an expert by any means, so I might turn your question over to Silke Kempema if she is listening, if that's okay, Commissioner Whitmire. And I know Silke is going to present some additional information towards the end of our meeting, but Silke, if you're there, can you answer Commissioner Whitmire's question here?
Yeah, I can try to. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We can.
Okay, great. I'm not sure I completely understand the question, but in terms of habitat requirements for river otter, you're right, they are limited to areas that have open water. So in the winter, the areas they can inhabit are fairly limited. One of the things that I guess allows river otter to exist in South Dakota is the presence of beaver. And the dams beaver construct and the resulting ponds. So whether it be a power plant, a beaver dam, or just deep enough water that doesn't freeze over, or even a mild winter provides that open water that river otters would require. And you're right, river otters don't construct the shelters that they need, and they often use either active or inactive beaver lodges or bank dens or any other structure that's naturally available like a uprooted tree or things like that. Now, I'm not sure that I addressed exactly what your question, Commissioner.
Thank you. Mr. Chair?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, I guess I was... my intent was that I believe that you can't just have river otters on every lake. When that lake freezes 3 foot or so every winter, 3 foot of ice, without some kind of mechanism to keep an open spot, such as high precip the year before to where the rivers are running well. But in here in South Dakota, we often don't have that condition. And I just, I wanted that to be clear to people that the river otter expansion
is limited by Mother Nature as much as anything, and it's not like they're going to simply expand overnight throughout the state.
Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Sure, please do.
You're exactly right, and you hit on a good point. Climate, and in particular precipitation, you know, the farther west you go within the state, the lower the annual amounts of precipitation there are, and the frequency of streams and rivers being intermittent west of the river increases. So, you know, the ability for river otter to expand and find year-round open water habitat is a little bit limited. It's not impossible, but it's definitely different than northeastern South Dakota that has abundant amounts of water, at least right now.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Whitmire, do you have more?
Just to say thank you. That answers my inquiry.
Okay. All right, so then do we go to fall turkey?
Yes, we sure can. Thanks for bailing me out, Selka. Where are we at here?
Page
70. 73 I have, but it's the fall turkey hunting season, Mr. Chair, and again, this would be the second round or whatnot of fall turkey, and finalization will occur. I ask for your finalization on proposed changes at the July meeting, but just a rundown here. This would be a two-year recommendation again. Our current season dates for the fall turkey hunting season are November 1 through January 31. You can see the number of licenses allocated on this current proposal appropriated by the Black Hills and the Prairie units there at the top of the action sheet. Again, the proposed changes from last year is to offer some less single tag licenses, a few more double tag licenses. It's just a combination of some changes made across all of the hunting units within that season on the prairie. Recommended change there number two is to close prairie units, offer zero number of licenses for Gregory County, Millett, and Tripp County. And then the proposed change there, number three, I have to establish there, but we already have that established in rule, Mr. Chair. It's just to reopen and reallocate licenses for Bonham County there. And I guess with that, at this time, we don't have any recommended changes for you to consider, and would ask for this to continue to move through the process. And I'd certainly try to answer questions the best I can if you have any at this time.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Tom Kirschman, the Director of Wildlife Division. One other item, I'll just follow up with what Chad described here. I know you, Mr. Chairman, and a few other commissions have been contacted by a few hunters during this hunting season of expressed concern in some locations in the Black Hills, in particular, of lower turkey numbers. Our staff have heard some of those same comments. We've heard these comments over the past couple of years too, and it's not broad scale across the entire Black Hills, but certainly some areas of the Black Hills. That being said, Chad's exactly right. This would be a two-year recommendation, finalization in the month of July. We'll continue to have those conversations, and we'll look at this in some more detail. And in respect to those licenses that are allocated for the Black Hills, important to remember again, those licenses for the Black Hills are really allocated on that, I'll say that bench, I believe, as most people call it, on that eastern and southeastern side where we have historically dealt with some depredation. But we don't harvest a lot of turkeys during the fall season. So hearing those comments that we're hearing directly, some of the comments come to you, we'll continue those discussions over the next several weeks. And I would anticipate that we will likely have some adjustments for your consideration at finalization now that the season has wrapped up essentially, and we've had more comments. We'll have a little more time to go through those and assess them. So I just want you to be aware of that when we come to finalization in July, you could probably expect some some type of recommended adjustments, in particular for the Black Hills, and is more specifically.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Any other comments about fall turkey? If not, then we'd go to lost license requirement replacement with Chad.
Yeah, so this is another proposal that has kind of been through the process here for a while. I haven't really received a lot of public comment that I'm aware of on this proposal. I think it's pretty straightforward. Just a change here to remove that $20 administrative fee for any lost or destroyed licenses, permits, or game tags. I've been known to pay that myself in the past, and it sit real well paying another $20 on top. And again, just to try to provide some good customer service here, and let's not charge our customers more for this fee than what a license may have initially cost, such as a mentor or youth license, and that the license agent fee or the administrative fee would still retain with this. That would be $4 for resident and $8 for non-resident, but with this proposal, that $20 administrative fee would be removed. So we have no recommended changes for you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Then, John, do you want to finish up with number 16?
Sure, Mr. Chair. Again, for those listening, John Cotelner, staff attorney for Game Fish and Parks. This is the conclusion of the administrative rule cleanup that Andy Holman and I have been doing. There are no changes from the proposals that were introduced to you back in April, so would not require any formal action on the commission's part unless anyone has any questions about the whole overall administrative rule cleanup process.
Okay. Comments or questions? Well, if not, why don't we take 5 minutes and we'll be back shortly.